The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio, as we roll along on a Thursday, the start of the NCAA tournament. Sweet 16 will be tonight with four games on the slate in both Anaheim and Kansas, Louisville, and then four more games on Friday in Washington, D.C. and Kansas City. Yes, it's chalk heavy, but it's also the starting opening day of Major League Baseball, if you don't want to count the two games in Tokyo. And I said this earlier, and I'll continue to do this all season, is I'm paying attention to a number of players this year. I'd like to see what Bryce Harper does in Philadelphia. Obviously, Manny Machado in San Diego, but I'm paying attention to Aaron Judge of the Yankees. I think that he has the potential to kind of get close to 60 home runs, and I think that would be important because we were sort of defrauded, if you will, by the last real home run race at Roger Maris's record. Now, anything that's beyond Roger Maris's home run record is not officially going to count, but in my own mind, I would love a legitimate shot at it. You know, I remember really being up for the Sosa and Maguire race back in the late 90s. I remember being excited that baseball was pursuing this and how we were paying so close attention to it. But then afterwards, when you realize what these guys did and how they got it and what was going down and Barry Bonds and all of that, it feels so tainted. But if there is somebody that would just come along and get close, doesn't actually have to get it, but get close, I wonder how we would take it. So my thought is that I'd love to see Aaron Judge go on a tear of hitting home runs and get to like 52 with like a month left, just to perceive how everybody takes it. No, it's not a shot at the record. No, it's not going to be official in the books. But in our own minds, because we saw all of those numbers and we have asterisks in our own minds on those numbers, not officially, but in our heads, how would we take it if Aaron Judge or anybody else for that matter, actually flirted with 61 home runs in a season? Would we follow it intensely? Would we be in on it? Would the national media follow suit and cover it on a day-to-day basis just to, I don't know, say they did, to just be part of something, even if it hasn't have a significant historical meaning in the record books, but personal meanings to those of us? It would be interesting to see. SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, celebrating sports movie themes, 1977, Rocky won Best Picture on this date. All right, there it is. It's picking up a little bit. Why are sports movie themes so slow and methodical?
I don't know.
I need excitement. Like, I need energy. Like this is supposed to pump me up, not put me to sleep.
It's just like all the sports movies. I mean, you know, slow, and then all of a sudden it keeps building and building and building, and then it just releases.
All right, what movie is this?
Miracle.
Oh, is it Miracle? This should have been better. I should have noticed it. My son used to watch this all the time when he was a kid. Used to keep him quiet. No, this is Kurt Russell as Herb Brooks.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job with the movie.
I did too. I thought it was a good movie. Very entertaining. Very Disney, but it was very entertaining.
Yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't all that clean. I'm sure they had
God,
some...
I hope not.
Sure was.
Got a bunch of college kids in the 80s.
There's just some debauchery on that team. I mean, my God. One of the things I liked about that movie was there were a lot of good little lessons from that team, you know, and you can watch it with your kids and be like, look, name on the front instead of the name on the back. Blah, 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 blah. Look at Mike Ruzioni. I play for the United States of America. Oh, that feel good moment.
Yep.
But, you know, it's
the speech.
Yeah. The speech. Right. And all of that. Such a good moment. It's I know people always bring this up when it comes to the 80 hockey team, that, you know, they had to win against Finland, you know, and they didn't win the gold medal. Yeah, they had to win against Finland. And if they had lost to Finland, you know, there was always this, and I think Herb Brooks mentioned it where he said, if we lose to Finland, you know, no one will remember this. I don't agree. I think that was cool to say at the time because it was probable at the time. But people don't even remember they played Finland, so it doesn't really matter, right? I mean, yeah, like,
no,
like, I mean, when
maybe
people
he
say,
was right.
But no, I don't think he was right.
No, because we always forget that they played Finland.
Right. So he told his boys, if you lose to Finland, no one will remember this moment. No, that's not true.
Oh, you're talking about remember.
He told
the Soviet
them
Union.
They beat the Soviet Union, but he had to remind them there was another game. Like he had to say, guys, if you don't win against Finland, if you let this be your moment, no one's going to remember this moment because you got to win the gold. And winning the gold was cool, but the reality is I think we'd remember them beating the Soviets even if they had lost to Finland, or most people didn't remember what happened in that game.
Well, most people assume that when we beat the Soviets, that was the gold medal.
Was the gold medal. Because the thing was, the reality was, is that when you took these two Cold War superpowers and the high professionalism of Soviet hockey against the amateurism of the United States kids who were 19, 20, 21 years old, and you have the USA winning in the United States, right, in the Cold War, where we're really like duking it out with the Soviets in every possible way, that's just going to be remembered. I don't think you have to say like, oh, if they had lost the gold, or if they, you know, we wouldn't have forgotten that. Sports Illustrated put that picture on the cover of the kids just piled up with the flag and just salute. But you know what they didn't have on that cover? Words. There was, other than Sports Illustrated, there was no words. They didn't say glory to the USA, United States,
or miracle.
They didn't have anything. They just had nothing. Iconic picture.
Or Sports Illustrated.
Sports Illustrated, bam.
That was it. Maybe
the
price.
Think about it, too. And this is one of the reasons why, as a young kid, like I loved the idea of being a broadcaster. Al Michaels comes up with that term, and that's what it became.
Yeah.
Like Miracle Al Michaels said, do you believe in miracles? He could have said anything. If he had said anything else, we would have been forcing, we would have been trying to pry a word, probably would have come up with miracle on our own. But that's why it's known as Miracle on Ice, because Al Michaels said miracle.
What if he was really hungry and said, do you believe in bologna sandwiches?
Right. Exactly. Right.
Bologna on
ice. Exactly. So, yeah, I've done a few interviews with the guys who were on that team over the years. You know, here's the deal. It's usually a pitch, right? Usually they're selling like water picks and you could have them on. And, you know, they're fun interviews because they're, Mike Ruzioni is especially because, and I guess I would be the same way, but I don't think you could ever be sick of that moment and being asked the same questions.
No.
Like I was sitting there in the interview going, I'm asking the same questions pretty much he's heard for the last 30 something years, and he's answering them as if he's heard them heard this for the first time. He has kept up that enthusiasm for this. Like he never went, well, you know, as I've said many times before, it was really tough opponent that we played before and got beat before, and Jim Craig was nervous. And no, he was as intense and excited as if it was if it happened like a week ago. He's kept that up over the years. It was great. He's great. A lot of those guys the same way. Neil Broughton, I mean, all those guys that were on the team. Jim Craig, all those guys. So yeah, good movie, Miracle. So I said last hour, I think The SEC is on the verge of a basketball boom. Oh, I really do. I think the SEC is on the verge of a basketball boom. On par with what the ACC has. I think within 5 to 10 years, SEC basketball will be as good as ACC basketball. Right now, that's not even close. But because even when you look at the SEC teams that are in, you can find some flaw, you can find some problems, you can find some untrust. Well, you don't see that in Virginia or in Duke or North Carolina, even not so much as, you know, Virginia Tech. Florida State is getting a lot of hype. But when you, I've been following SEC sports forever, and I've never seen them really put a lot of emphasis in basketball, right? They're a football conference, but most conferences are football conferences. But over the last couple of years, I've seen them raise the budgets for the basketball programs to really entice some quality coaches into the conference. And the second thing is the facilities are really starting to get much, much, much better. Now, the facilities for football have always been better. But the basketball facilities, you talk to some good SEC schools, they'll tell you some of the football basketball facilities are not up to par, are not up to par. But the investment that these schools are making, I think is going to be, there's going to be a boom where you're going to see this 8-9 deep of really good quality teams. And over the next 10 years, it'll be a premier basketball conference.
See, I've always thought that it was going to happen too, just because of the football effect.
Yeah.
You know, you have a really good, I mean, when Alabama, what was it last year or 2 years ago, Alabama had a decent basketball team running through. And it didn't shock me. It was like, well, of course, you know, you're going to start, you have a powerhouse football team that is winning year after year after year. There's money coming into that athletic department. That gym is probably incredible. Rivals probably some of the best gyms in the country.
Yeah, and that money's got to go somewhere. I mean, that's the one thing. They can't hoard it. They got to spend it. I mean, they're state university.
Exactly.
So they can't just swim in it like Scrooge McDuck money. I mean, they got to put it into the facility.
So all it really takes is a couple really decent basketball recruits. You know, you show them the facilities, show them the gymnasium, show them where they go work out. Show them the athletic dorms, and all of a sudden you're going to, and because it's Alabama football, I think Alabama's going to become a basketball powerhouse down the road.
I think this too.
Just because of football.
And I think when you put more effort and more money into this, like the SEC plans, you know, really is starting to show that they're doing. The other factor that comes into play here is, look, people don't like the idea of, you know, there's a football school and a basketball school, right? You usually get defined by one or the other, right? You know, Florida won the NCAA basketball tournament and college football playoff, if you will, or BCS national championship in the same year. That is so rare. It's so rare to even get schools that are competitive on that level. Michigan is one of them. Michigan State is another one that, you know, plays really good football and has a good basketball team. But Duke football pops up every now and then and then disappears. North Carolina football, same thing. It pops up and then it disappears, right? Gonzaga, I don't even think has a football team. And if they do, I have no idea what it is or how it is. So, you know, at me on Twitter if I'm completely mistaken about that. Maybe there's some, you know, maybe they're winning some sort of conference every year. I have no clue. But when it comes to the SEC, because it's so football heavy, people look at it and say, well, why would a five-star recruit go play at a school that's a football school, right? He wants to be at a school where basketball is the center stage. I disagree with that. I think you can, if you put the time and effort into a coach that can develop players into NBA level players, right? And you have facilities that are amazing, absolutely amazing, state of the art. And the idea of going to a school that would be incredible if your basketball team was good. Let's not forget, look, like when you look at some of these SEC programs, like Tennessee, for example, Tennessee, you know, had Bruce Pearl as a head coach. They had Konzo Martin. They had the guy from Donnie Tyndale from Southern Miss lasted a minute and a half before he got let go. But they now bring in Rick Barnes, and Rick Barnes comes in from Texas. And now that's all that school is talking about. That's all that school is buzzing about is the basketball program. And because there is so much passion for that school and so much passion for athletics of that school, that it's getting all the attention and all the love. So it's not a situation like we kind of used to joke about, at least in the SEC, and I'm sure in other parts, where, you know, basketball season was just a time filler until we got to spring football, right? It's not that anymore. Right now it is, basketball is not a time filler. Basketball is a very important, integral part of these schools and what they're doing. You're watching Vanderbilt fire Bryce Drew after just 3 years. They went 0-18 in the SEC, but they lost an NBA-level point guard. and they lost him and lost any chance of getting their season on track. They fired him because of that idea that we have got to be better than this. Arkansas fired Mike Anderson after 8 seasons. Will Wade is probably gone. That's another opening in the SEC. But Alabama just hired Nate Oates out of Buffalo. Buffalo, who's a very good basketball coach, had the Bulls in the tournament 3 out of the last 4 years. They fired Avery Johnson, who was an NBA coach, because he wasn't getting the program to where it wanted to be. They weren't satisfied with getting there every now and then and going pretty, you know, being mediocre. There is a push in this conference to excel at this sport that has, I haven't seen in a very, very long time. I'm not kidding. And I've used this, and this is not hyperbole. I've watched SEC basketball because I used to follow South Carolina. I used to watch South Carolina all the time when I could. And my wife watched Florida games forever. Florida would play teams in the SEC in the mid-2000s. I'm not kidding. It was unwatchable basketball, how bad some of these SEC schools were. I mean, bad, bad teams. And my brother-in-law, who goes to Florida, him and I would talk about it, and he would always say, Florida doesn't get tested in the conference. Florida didn't get tested in the conference. Joe Kim Noah, Al Horford, all those teams that won back-to-back titles still made their tournament run, but they weren't getting tested in the SEC because the teams were bad, really bad. And that's changed. That has really changed. So in the 10 years, that has really changed. And I think in 5 years, it's going to be a premier basketball conference. You would not put them in that category, even with 4 teams in the Sweet 16 right now. You would not put them in the category. You would say, well, no, they still got a ways to go. They're still not quite the Big Ten. And even I could make the case for the Big 12. But I think in 5 or 10 years, I think that dynamic is going to change completely. It has everything to do with football. It has everything to do with money. And has there is a renewed and a powerful, powerful uplifting of the basketball programs in the Southeastern Conference. I'm interested to see where it goes. So check with me in like 5 years to see if I've pegged this right. Coming up next, a big thank you from me to NFL Operations. Why? I'll tell you next, SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Throwback Thursday, celebrating 1977, Rocky winning the Best Picture, sports themes. I'm not even going to guess. I don't know. I don't know these.
Fill the dreams.
Fill the dreams. God, these are so sad. I want to go to sleep now. It's supposed to pump me up. This is supposed to make me pop.
No, you got to go have a catch with Dad at this moment.
Oh, all right, Dad, I'll go down to Florida. We'll play catch.
There you go.
You can still play catch. I don't even know if I still have a glove. I used to have my glove got wrecked, and I never bought a new one. Once my kid quit baseball, I was like, I don't need this anymore. So, but it was awful. My glove got wrecked. Glove I've had forever. You can now earn O Rewards points online at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Earn points any way you shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll earn a $5 reward for every 150 points you earn. Visit orewards.com and become an O'Reilly O Rewards member today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Good movie, terrible theme. I gotta get rid of that. Oh, God, I feel like going around in a bus now with James Earl Jones.
You got to. See, and that's what baseball does. Baseball is just about summertime. Just traveling.
I did not like Field of Dreams.
What?
It's too hokey for me.
Come on.
It's too hokey. My dad's still alive. I don't need to play catch with my dad. I can play catch with my dad. I'm not pining for a lost moment with my father. I have a great relationship with my father. I'm not pining for, like, well, me and my dad have to play a catch to resolve issues. We don't have any issues. So I don't feel the guy's pain.
Yeah, but don't right? you just want to jump in a bus and drive around with James Earl Jones right now?
That I do, but yeah. I wouldn't talk to him about Field of Dreams. I wouldn't talk to him about baseball. I'd talk to him about Star Wars.
Go talk to a ghostly Burt Lancaster.
yeah, very true.
Or Ray Liotta.
And Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yep.
So that was cool, though. They built a baseball field in a cornfield. That was kind of neat.
Well, not according to the town.
I like that. Well, yeah, that's true.
Who digs up great soil to build a baseball field?
Right.
Nobody plays on.
Exactly. But, yeah, I mean, it was one of those movies I watch once. If it's on, I don't watch it. Like, it's not one of those sports movies I go, oh, great, Field of Dreams is on. Click. To me, if I'm going to watch a baseball movie with Kevin Costner, I choose Bull Durham. So I don't choose Field of Dreams.
What about For Love of the Game?
No. I didn't like that.
You didn't like that one?
I didn't like that one either.
I didn't mind that one.
Sports
so much.
Movies. Listen, here's my philosophy on it, and I know I'm different than a lot of people on this. If you give me a sports movie, I can only stand so much hokiness and cheese. And then after, if you give me too much of it, then I'm going to lose interest in you quickly. I can only take so much. And I think a lot of it is the cynicism that I have covering sports. And I've been doing this for 20 plus years. I've been in locker rooms since 1993. All right. And to me, there's great things about sports and there's awesome things about sports, but it's rarely cheesy and hokey and deserves an orchestrated moment of, you know, a theme music. Hollywood, I think, pegs it differently. It pegs it wrong. And so I watch some of these movies and I go, oh God, just play me a violin. Yikes. Give me a break. You know, and that's how I feel about most of them. But some of them are great. Like some of the sports movies are fantastic and I love and really capture the right moment, what makes sports so spectacular and awesome. I've always said this, that if an alien came down and he asked you, what is this about this that you like so much? You really couldn't define it. It's really hard to define why we are emotional about games in which we have no control. A lot of it has to do with pride. A lot of it has to do with our affiliation with something that makes us feel good about ourselves. So whether it is rooting for a city because that's where you grew up, or a team because that's the team you chose, whatever it is, that attachment you have to the outcome of sports, it's so hard to define why we are so emotionally involved in it, but we are. And those who aren't emotionally involved in it, I never know what they have in their life that is the equivalent to what I have with the unstructured theater of sports, right? In, you know, my sister, for example, loves movies and she loves going to movies, but that is a script designed to hit your emotions at various points. Whereas a football game, for example, can be very boring, very excited, last play, and can mean the world or it can mean nothing at all. You just don't know until you get there. Right. And that's the beauty of sports, is that it can give you these unbelievable moments. And yet at the same time, it also can be very disappointing and very upsetting. I don't root for Auburn or Alabama, but I remember screaming my head off at the kick six, like nothing I've ever seen before. Like, I mean, seriously, nothing I'd ever seen before. And it was crazy. And back in 1992 on this date, Christian Laettner made the shot. We're going to talk about that coming up. That was the most incredible thing I'd ever seen. So, and this is another one. And I was saying this earlier, the operations, this is from profootballtalk.com. The NFL operations posted video because the Saints were saying, we got robbed. We got robbed. That pass interference. We got robbed. And the NFL, you know, office decided to show the video of the regular season game between the Steelers and the Saints, in which Joe Hayden was called for a pass interference on a fourth down, even though contact was minimal. And I say to them, thank you. Finally, somebody is pointing this out, that the Saints also benefited from a call and pass interference that went their way, that went against my team and cost my team a chance at making the playoffs. And don't tell me that the Steelers had their moments. They certainly had. But they needed to win that game against the Saints because it set them up for a Week 17 do-or-die situation, or do-and-then-still-wait-to-die situation. Had they beaten the Saints, they controlled their own destiny. But because they didn't beat the Saints, they had to beat the Bengals the next year and wait to see if the Browns could beat the Ravens. And the Steelers were oh so close to pulling that off Christmas weekend, but they didn't. And one of the main reasons, because Joe Hayden got flagged for a pass interference penalty on fourth down, and that wasn't a pass interference penalty. And now NFL operations tweeting out a video of that. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. From a Steeler fan to you, NFL operations, well played. Thank you so much. So listen, I mean, it cost the Steelers a chance to go to the playoffs. And I know the Saints cost them a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and I'm not arguing that they didn't deserve to have this replay reviewed, but cry me a river, you know? I mean, please. Every team goes through that. Every team has their moment. It may not be as important as the NFC title game, but there are some situations where those kind of calls are very, very, very important. And for the Steelers, it was in that particular game. So I want to thank NFL operations for making that point. Well done. Thank you very much.
All right.
So there you go. Serious. That's the beauty of this, right? That's the other beauty of sports, right? One of the other beauties of sports is that, seriously though, the Saints can have a play like that, and almost immediately everybody can start thinking in their heads at the moment that their team was robbed out of something like
true.
That.
True. Very true.
Right? Everybody could, even Rams fans could say, oh, I remember this. I have that moment. We all have one or two or three or 10 or 20 of bad calls that cost us a chance at doing something, right? I still tease my cousin because back in the early 2002, my cousin is a Titans fan. He's a season ticket holder. And the Steelers played, you know, the really, really good Titans with Steve McNair in a playoff game that really Steelers didn't have any business being in. And they, their kicker went out for a kick and it got blocked, but the officials called offsides. I think it was Ron Washington of the Steelers. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But anyway, it was an offsides, and it wasn't offsides. And I still swear to this day that it wasn't offsides. And he got another chance and won the game. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. Oh, Michael on Twitter, you make a very good point. Giancarlo Stanton did hit 59 home runs a few years ago before he was traded. And I was waiting for someone to get near 60. That is correct. SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. It is the good, the bad, and the dumb, where Ron gives us both the good, the bad, and the dumb. But before we do that, have you ever written a book? Learn how to get it published and potentially sold online in a bookstore. Call Page Publishing now for your free book publishing kit. 800-215-6815, 800-215-6815. All right, give us the good for this Throwback Thursday.
Well, the good changed mid-morning.
Okay.
Because originally the good was I was going off on the fact that there was only one perfect bracket left in America.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
According to NCAA.com.
Okay.
And the odds of having a perfect bracket just through 16 games, you'd have a better chance of winning Powerball than you would have having a perfect bracket.
Yeah, isn't it still in the trillions
bizarre.
Or something like that?
Quintillion.
To have a perfect bracket at this point.
Yeah, we're not saying a complete perfect bracket all the way through. We're just saying
A complete perfect bracket all the way through is not even it's hard to calculate.
Yeah, good on this guy, and he has that age old story too. He wasn't going to turn a bracket in, and then last minute he decided to do so. Don't they all have that story?
Wait a minute, really? Wait a minute. He just barely put one into the system, and now he's perfect.
Yeah, he was.
Really?
I think he was second guessing. He's like, you know, I may not need to do it this year.
Oh, please. Didn't study or anything like that. Just threw it together and got a perfect bracket. All right. That's fine.
He did do his homework. You know, he watched the bracketology shows on TV.
So he watched Dick Vitale. Did Dick Vitale or Seth Greenberg or Jay Billis, did anybody tout the importance of Oregon? Was anybody giving him the Oregon pick?
I mean, you know what? It's very risky to go ahead and pencil in picking a 12 versus 13 seed.
Yeah, it's also very risky to take a Pac-12 team in this tournament. No offense to you Pac-12 people,
right?
But let's be honest, you guys stink.
So
all right.
that was going to be my good, but I switched it up because you know, when I woke up this morning, there was breaking news that came across my timeline.
Which was?
Manchester United officially hires Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And I know this means everything
nothing,
to you, Tony.
Nothing, but go ahead.
No, basically, what happened?
The floor is yours. I won't even comment because I have no idea what this means.
Well, no, you can comment because it makes sense. I'll paint the picture for you. Right? They had you know, arguably one of the he was a good coach, but he wasn't a great manager. He wasn't a great manager, in Jose Mourinho. And you've heard him. He's very high in himself. And they fired him after, you know, midway through the season, and they just bring in an interim manager. It happens all the time in sports. They just bring in an interim just to kind of try to keep the train moving forward, try to keep the train on the tracks. Well, when he jumped in, he immediately went to 10-0, and he's won 14 of the last 19 games, has brought Manchester United on, you know, being a middle-of-the-road team into the top four, where in the English Premier League, you want to finish in top four.
I'll take your word for it.
Well, no, but I'm saying, you know, I'll put it to any sort of sport where you have an interim manager who just comes in and just lights the world on fire. You got to make them full time.
Okay, yeah, I would say so.
I mean, right? I mean, a lot of times, and that doesn't happen a lot of times. I mean, we saw it. What was it? 2 years ago with the Cleveland Browns,
right?
Or was it last year?
I'll tell you. I'll give you a better example. Ed Orgeron at USC.
Yeah, there you go.
Did a great job. He lost. I think he lost the bowl game, but he really kept USC afloat. They didn't hire him.
So, and I'm just happy. I mean, he is a legend in Manchester United folklore. He was a player for them, and embodies a lot of what made Manchester United popular. And so it's a good move. I'm glad that they did that.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
The bad of the day. I don't know if you've seen this. This came across my Twitter timeline recently. So it might be old news, but I'm not. It's my first time seeing it. It's St. Louis style vertically sliced bagels.
Oh, I did see this. What is up with that?
I believe
is this
that
how
this
they
is,
eat bagels in St. Louis?
I don't know, but I believe this is how you how serial killers eat bagels.
They take the bagel and they slice it up and down into like strips.
Yeah, like
and that's
bread.
How people eat the bagels.
Yeah, that's not
which
right.
is a really awful way to eat a bagel.
I mean,
it's a terrible way to eat a bagel. Right.
I mean, it's basically
part of the joy of the bagel is the roundness. Hold it in your hand, bite into it. Crunchy if you want it toasted.
Yeah, get cream cheese soft all over you your face or yeah, butter all no. over your face. Or
they're not breadsticks.
Exactly.
Like, if you want breadsticks, eat breadsticks. You don't want bagel sticks. That's stupid. If I was the mayor of St. Louis, unless there's a reason for this that is so St. Louis, you don't even get me, I'd disavow this immediately.
I would ask for a name change so quick, right? Just stop calling him St. Louis.
Exactly. Unless, of
don't
course, you're like, man, you don't
there.
Get it. Here in Missouri,
is that how they eat it in Missouri? Because if so, I'm not going.
I don't know. I'm not either. I'm not going to go eat bread slices of bagel. No.
I mean, the next thing you know, they're going to be cutting their donuts in half or something like that. It's like, come on.
Golly, I'll go in there. I'll take a bagel. I'll put cream cheese on it. And I'll just be like, I'm from New York. This is how I eat my bagel. Stop telling me to cut it in slices. I ain't cutting in slices.
God, everyone in the office would just be staring at you like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Why are you cutting it horizontally?
God, that's terrible.
You know, there's more of us here. You need to share.
That's that was like an Omaha thing. I'd be like, okay, cool. But St. Louis, disavow yourself from that.
But that's the only reason why I can think of slicing it vertically like that is because it's easier to share.
Share a bagel.
Get
your own bagel. They're like a dollar.
What purpose is there to slice a bagel that way?
Is it because people are like so carb conscious now? They're like, I like bagels, but I only can take them in so much. So give me a couple of strips and I'm good.
Well, you know, it is funny that you bring up carb conscious because that is my dumb of the day.
All right, go ahead. Dumb of the day. Carb consciousness.
The great hamburger chain, Fatburger. Have you ever been to a Fatburger?
I've been to a Fatburger. Yes.
I mean, incredible. And Fat stands for fresh and tasty.
Yeah, that's what I. Yes, exactly. Used to be a Fatburger in Vegas. I used to go to.
Yep, they are renaming themselves to Skinny Burger.
Oh, stop! Are they not?
Yeah, because
there's no way.
Yes, because of popular demand of their top menu item, their top pick menu item, which is a Skinny Burger, which. Instead of a bun, it's two patties, which I can't really see how.
No, wait. Instead of a bun, it's two more patties?
Yeah.
So it's three patties together?
I guess. Or it's just two patties and they just put everything in the middle.
Okay, that's not bad. But that's not good. I like, you need. You ever tried a burger with lettuce where they put it in the lettuce leaf?
Yeah.
I've done that. I can't.
But, yeah, okay, I get that. You know, it's. I get that that's your most popular item, and you know, God bless it. I mean, that's what California is. You know, they're a health conscious group, and they're gonna if you just put skinny in front of anything, they're gonna order it. It could be the most fattening thing. You'd be like skinny Twinkies. I'll get skinny Twinkies.
Yeah, right.
But there's no reason to rename your restaurant to rebrand it. You know, from Fatburger to Skinny Burger. Fatburger is I mean, that's iconic.
Yeah, you're gonna make me a fat guy feel weird walking in. Like, I'm going to be like, no, I'm not here to, I'm here because I, you know, listen, this is my, you know, this is my sin. I like burgers. I'm going to have 900 calorie behemoth.
I like the greasy burger. I like the fact that burger just has so much grease off of it that, you know, you could probably oil your car.
Yeah, I like the fact that I can sit at a booth and have a big burger with a big thing of fries and look at people as they're walking by. And go, don't judge me! Ah, and woof down the burger. That's my life. And you can't judge me.
Be that Chris Farley character in Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, exactly.
Get off me! I'm starving.
But if everybody there is like, oh, I'm having the skinny burger, and everyone here is having the skinny burger, and we're all skinny, I'm gonna be like,
don't you feel like if you're eating, you know, a skinny burger, you have to eat it with your pinky out?
Yeah, completely.
Right?
Why wouldn't you? Yes.
I mean, you have to do that. So,
exactly.
I just, It just bothers me when companies decide to do this. You don't need a rebrand. It was like IHOP last year.
Don't
last summer.
Yeah,
like,
that was ridiculous.
That was, you know, and it backfired. So like, oh, we're just kidding. This is going to backfire too. And I can't wait to see what their excuse is.
Yep. No, that's good. Yeah, good. That's a good find. That's a good dumb. That's a really good dumb because now I'm kind of, oh, come on. That's a good food chain.
Yeah.
I like their food when I don't have any around me, but I used to, when I lived out in Vegas, there was one and I used to go there.
Yeah, there's none around here either. But, I mean, I know it's a West Coast thing. It's a Southern California. It started in Southern California. It's been there. It's been Fatburger for like 70 years.
Right. Speaking of those burger chains, In-N-Out, why won't they expand further than, like, Colorado is getting an In-N-Out, and they are begging. I mean, like, they can't wait for the In-N-Out expansion to Colorado. And I told my wife, because we're big, huge In-N-Out fans, I said, we're never seeing one, so don't even think about it. I'll never forget, I was flying out to California to see my sister, and I met her at an In-N-Out burger. I'd rather go to the In-N-Out burger first then go see my sister, sister, don't get me wrong. But as soon as we got off the plane and I got in the rent-a-car, it had like the GPS unit that came with the car. I punched in In-N-Out Burger and I said, that's where we're going first. And then we'll find my sister. And I called her and I said, she says, oh, I live right up. I'm not far from where you're at. So I'll come see you. And that's where we met her. But it did not go unnoticed that the first place I went to was to go to the In-N-Out Burger. It wasn't even like I went to her place, unpacked a little bit, said, all right, hanging out. All right, let's go out to lunch. When are you going to go to lunch? I don't know. In-N-Out Burger? I just landed and I'm in the car and I'm heading to In-N-Out Burger. So yeah, you can meet me there or whatever.
I've done this many times. We're landing in LA at LAX, literally a block away is an In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know, for me, it's just like I just go through the drive-thru, just tap my veins on my arm and say, give me my fix, please.
Exactly.
No,
exactly.
Here's the deal. In the great city of Houston, there is a bit of a rivalry between In-N-Out and Whataburger. There's a lot of people here who claim Whataburger is the best fast food chain burger on the planet, and they're wrong. I mean, they're wrong. I'm sorry, but they are. And it's been rumored for 2-3 years now that Houston will be getting a couple In-N-Outs. And it just seems to be rumors because they have the locations picked out, but nothing is ever getting done. Ugh. And it's frustrating. I mean, fortunately, I can go to San Antonio or I can go up to Dallas and they have In-N-Outs there. So it is making its way across the country.
Okay.
So be patient.
Because if I had millions and millions of dollars, and I mean like more money than I knew what to do with, and I wanted to open one in Nashville just because I wanted one, would they say, nope? No, we don't. That's not our thing. We don't go that far. We'd like to be contained. So take your money, Mr. Millionaire, and go away. We don't even want it.
I think that's how they were at the beginning, but I think now they're wanting to spread the Southern California love.
Okay, gotcha.
You know,
gotcha.
And I got to say this real quick. My son yesterday was on a field trip, and there was a dad who commented about Whataburger. And even my son, who's 8 years old, was like, no, In-N-Out's better. And he stood by it. He stood by it. He was not backing down. He was getting into that In-N-Out versus Whataburger fight that seems to be popular here.
That's very good. Well, that's interesting. I like that. I like Burger Wars. It's always
fun. Burger Wars, yeah.
Absolutely. It's SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. And that's Ron with two N's, SB Nation AM.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. This time of year, we get a lot of heavy rain and crashes from cars hydroplaning. Hydroplaning is when your tires lose traction by skipping across the water. Now, people think that tires have tread on them for better traction. Now, if that was true, dragsters that depend on traction wouldn't have slick tires. Your tire tread is there to channel away water so you don't hydroplane. The faster you go, the better chance to hydroplane and crash from loss of control. Thin tire tread, low tire pressures, and high speeds all add your hydroplane chances. Because the tire's tread can't channel the water away fast enough. Now, the puddle doesn't have to be very deep to cause a crash. So, folks, when you see water puddling on the road or just heavy rain, slow down. If you're not sure about your tires, stop at a tire store. Have them check the tread and the pressures. This is Mike Herzing. Let's Talk Wheels are brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. That's letstalkwheels.com.
Each spring, we lose an hour of sleep in the name of daylight savings time. But who needs rest when you've got a new Jeep SUV? Come in to the Jeep Freedom Days sales event now for great deals that more than make up for 60 minutes of not snoozing.
Go anywhere, anytime in the legendary Jeep Wrangler. Motor Trend's 2019 SUV of the year. Travel in luxurious comfort with Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. Take in more fresh air in Jeep Compass with its available panoramic dual-pane sunroof. And push your adventures to new lengths with Jeep Cherokee's 31 mpg highway. So hurry in for great deals at the Jeep Freedom Day sales event, or you'll miss out on more than just an hour of rest. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder, 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. This hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. On Twitter, 2 years ago, I heard they opened an In-N-Out Burger in Atlanta. I Googled the location. I drove around for 2 hours in that location, only to find out it was a hoax. It was on the local news the next day that over 100 people were fooled.
Preach!
Oh, that is the worst kind of hoax. The promise of burgers that are so delicious.
Yep.
And you didn't get one. Oh, that's terrible. Michael on Twitter earlier made a good point, because I said, boy, I really would like to see Aaron Judge make a run at like a legit 61 home runs. And Michael reminded me that Giancarlo Stanton hit 59. And I looked it up because I remember 59, but I wanted to know about the kind of the hoopla around it. Greg Cody at the Miami Herald had a really good column at that time saying this would have been very, very significant for baseball, because only three players, if he had hit 60 home runs and he came up one short, if he had, it's only three players would have been in the clean error of hitting 60. Babe Ruth, Roger Maris, and then Giancarlo Stanton. He came up one short. And then the three others, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, and Barry Bonds, are in the tarnished Troiaca. They broke the 60 with a combined six times between 98 and 2001. But he said it would have been very significant. If he had gotten at least 60 to be part of that club, he would have been the clean king, the people's champion. So, yeah, there was a little bit of a buzz for Giancarlo Stanton's 59 home runs. I must have missed it because he played for the Marlins. And I'm more of a too bad of too northeast in my appreciation for baseball. SB Nation AM.